Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're honored that you are tuning in. We are broadcasting from Nashville, right here at the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. Feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. That phone number again is 866-357-3283. And of course, you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Speaking of emails, we've got an update email later on in the show. You know, a lot of times people will call in or they'll email in and I'll ask, hey, give us an update. Let us know how it goes. Let us know later on if it worked out. And we actually got one of those that I'm really excited about sharing with you. So you guys call in. We'll get those calls all lined up. Again, 866-357-3283. And as you're calling in, I want to share with you how much of a privilege it is to be a steward. When you think about that, we manage God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. You obviously gravitate towards the fact that that's a weight. That's a responsibility. And with that responsibility, well, it's also a privilege. I mean, think about that. It's not we have to manage. No, it's we get to manage. Big difference. And so I just want to share a couple passages with you that kind of point directly to that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good that they do, whether they are slave or free. We get rewards. What a privilege. He doesn't have to give us rewards, but he does. Sometimes it's external. Sometimes it's eternal, and sometimes it's internal. Sometimes it's just joy and peace and contentment, knowing that you're part of something bigger than you than just you, right? 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that at all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. What a privilege, right? We're supposed to put our faith into works. We're supposed to go do things. We're supposed to be active for him. We are his workmanship. We are his artwork. And so we're supposed to go create art, through our management. And it's so cool that a lot of times we face situations that we feel very inept to face. We feel very just unqualified to face. But he says here, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So folks, we are stewards. It is a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. Again, the phone lines are open, and the first call looks like it's coming all the way from Canada, Alberta, Canada. This is Alan. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just want to say I appreciate what you do, and again, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored. How can I help you?
My question is about kids and finances. I was wondering, we have two kids, my wife and I, 8 and 6, and they have a bank account set up, and they have a decent amount of money in there. I'm just wondering, how old would you recommend that we let them deal with their finances, and what would be the best method about going about teaching them that?
It was a gifts or?
Gifts. Most of it is gifts from grandparents, aunts, uncles, that kind of stuff.
And did they get the option to give a little bit when they got it, or did they get the option to spend a little bit when they got it? Is what's in the bank account Is that all of it or just a portion?
No, it's all of it. There's each kid, like my oldest is 8. He's got probably 2,500. And my daughter, who is 6, she has about 2,000.
Wow, they're raking it in.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. I said, it's a fair amount of money. And we were just wondering if, like, my son, he's 8 years old, and he's starting to comprehend that he has money. And I'm just thinking that if we just give him free rein at his bank account, he'll just end up spending it on toys or stuff like that, right?
So, no, of course he would. Well, here's what I'd recommend. 8 and 6, those are great, fun ages. I think you want to leverage that money that's in there for a good lesson. And so what I would do, whenever the timing's right, maybe it's a special occasion, maybe it's on top of a birthday, or maybe it's just out of nowhere. It might be something to leverage there if it's just out of nowhere. But I would take out $50 or $100, up to you. I don't think you need to go higher than that. And just give it to them and say, you know what? First of all, I want to let you know the value of saving. You've got some money in accounts that you know that are there only because of discipline and saving. And now I've done that for you to this point. And I think I've got an 8-year-old and a 9 and 11-year-old. So I feel like my kids would engage in this conversation as well. But so that's what I would do with the money that's already in there. I would take on $100 and make it a learning opportunity. With anything future, and that's all I would do with that money, by the way. I wouldn't pull from it again. I don't think there's a need to until probably when their first big expense, which would probably be a car, 15, 16-ish.
Okay.
So that's what I would do with that money. Now, any future money, what I would do is I would teach them to give first and to save second and to spend third. But you do want them to be able to spend with anything that comes through their hands, because you want to also be teaching them the rewards of hard work. And you don't want to give them an allowance, but you do want to say, hey, listen, if someone gives you some money, there are some benefits to generosity. So you're the beneficiary of generosity. That's great. And when you don't spend it and you don't use it, you're kind of robbing the other person of the blessing. I know you're saving it for later, but it's a perfect opportunity to teach, give first, save second, and spend third. So that's kind of the way I would do it for anything that comes into the future. We actually wrote an article, Alan, on stewardship.com. It's the top things your kids should know about money at every age. And at ages 6 to 13 specifically, your kids need 3 envelopes for sorting any kind of earned cash, one for spending, one for saving, one for giving, not in that order, but giving first, saving, and then spending, and help them mark maybe about 40% for saving, 10% for giving, and at least 50% for spending. And you really just remember, at this age, the save envelope is really just it's a bigger spend envelope focused on a particular goal. So you're going to save up for something big that they want. And maybe it's one of those hoverboards or something like that. But you're just teaching the whole idea of the budgeting and the planning.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you, if there is a percentage that you would, but you answer that question.
So yeah. For that age 6 to 13, those are good ratios. And of course I'm pretty firm on the 10% as a minimum, just to teach them that the tithe. But with the 50 and 40, you can really play with that if you want to. But those are kind of our recommendation.
Okay, perfect.
All right, Alan. Well, take care of Canada for us. Don't be a stranger. And we love getting calls from up there from Canada.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion the Vanderblumen and Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vanderblumen at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes, and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're honored that you're tuning in. The phone number is 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. All right, folks, we've got our next call on the line. It's from Richland, Washington. This is Molly. Molly, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Thank you for taking my call. My husband and I have some exciting news. We're closing on our home that used to be our personal residence, but we kept as a rental. And now, 18 months later, we're selling it at a pretty good profit. We're making, we should profit $53,000. We're debt-free, and we have a fixer-upper house. So, let's see, that we owe about $139 on.
Okay.
So, and we're on one income, essentially. We're not sure we're how to divvy up all the money getting and how much, you know, of course, I want to put new flooring and da-da-da-da. My husband's like, let's pay off the house. We can't fully pay it off, but he wants, I feel like that money is just going to be gone.
Well, research shows that it probably will be.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the...
Literally, our house is 72 years old and a lot of stuff is original and it needs help. Mm. So... I'd like to put a little bit in there.
Yeah. Have you done any research? Before I would put any money in the house, I would do some research on what that $50,000 would get you. And you're never going to have the exact number. But putting $50,000 into the house, is it going to generate another $100,000 in value or another $60,000 in value? Or is it maybe another $30,000 in value? It would just be nice to know what that okay. $50,000 is well, giving you in investment.
I will tell you, we do have to round out our emergency fund, so okay. that leaves us with 30. So we don't know how much of that 30 to put into the house, whether we should, we still have PMI, whether we should pay that down, and we are in a 30-year. I would love to go to a 15, but we can't afford it. We ran the numbers, and it wouldn't fit our budget.
Okay, well... So that's what I was going to say next. I was going to walk you through the baby steps and where you needed to put it. You said you were debt-free, so I knew baby step two was taken care of. So we're really only talking about a $30,000 deal here.
Right.
How are you in your investments? Are you doing the 15%?
We do normally. We stopped them when we purchased this house just temporarily, and we're going to, as soon as this check comes in, we're going to restart that again at okay. 15%. We were doing that previous to this house move. We kind of broke a couple of rules buying this house.
How old are you?
Husband is 44 and I'm 38.
Okay. All right. And how much do you have in retirement?
Gosh, off the top of my head, I would just say $100,000 for both of us.
Okay. What I would encourage you to do when it comes to that baby step four is to go check out a free resource at chrishogan360.com. And on that, right on the homepage, is what's called Finding Your RIQ, your Retire Inspire Quotient. And okay. what you're trying to do, you're going to put in four numbers, and I forget exactly what they were. One of them is how much you currently have invested. Another one is how many years until you retire. Another one is how much money you're going to need per year when you retire. And I forget the fourth one, but there's four things you put in. It's really simple. You boom, you say, find my RIQ, and it pops up. And it okay. tells you exactly how much money you need to put into retirement to reach your goals. Because what I'm a little afraid of is you put money in this house when you're behind. You're a little behind on retirement based on what I just hear, 38 and 44 and 100 grand. It's a little bit behind.
Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I was working before I – so we just – but we still – put away 15% for both of us.
Yeah, no, that,
us,
I think
even with me. So I don't know how we're behind.
Well, you know, you're probably doing the right thing now, but okay. you know, since you've been an adult, you possibly are a little bit behind with $100,000 at that age.
Okay.
So it might just be some catch up. It might be, you know, you might want to put 10 grand extra down. I don't know.
Man, my husband's going to love you now.
Here's the big thing I want to tell you.
Oh man.
Here's the big thing I want to tell you. If your house is too much, and you will not like this, I don't think. But if your house is too much on a 30-year and you could never go to a 15 because it's too much, I would strongly encourage downsizing to another home. That's brutal. That's hard to hear.
Well, those numbers that we run on the 15-year are just kind of on the edge. And then when you add escrow and taxes and The insurance, all that kind of bumps it all up from where like Dave Ramsey has on his calculator.
Have you ran the numbers when you go to a 15-year and you put the $30,000 down and avoid the PMI? Are you below 25% then?
We'll definitely be below 25. Yeah. It's still closer than we hope because we have like a kid in private school, and then I don't know if that'll leave enough for us to do the 15% of retirement.
Right. Well, something to consider because you just brought in another variable.
Okay.
You've got to ask yourself, do I want the home that stretches us a little bit, or the home that's a little bit more, or do I want the private school? But a lot of times with one income, you can't have both.
We moved for the private school, and that was why it was a push to move, you know, and use some of the emergency fund, which is the rule that we broke, which we're still paying for. I don't recommend anybody do that. So, it put us in a little bind. But, okay, well, I hear you.
Well, you've got a lot of variables going, a lot of variables. Here's what I would do. I'd put the money for right now.
Yeah.
Put the money in the emergency fund.
Okay.
And pray about it for a couple months, and I wouldn't do a thing.
Okay.
You've got too many variables right now, and you need to really pray through this.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you really do. But I feel like you've got this urgency about you that's going to push you towards a bad decision.
Yeah.
So I would just relax for about 30 to 60 days and breathe a little bit and be very thankful. Maybe it's 30 to 60 days of just thanking God for $53,000. That's a gift.
Oh, wow. That is a great answer. Thank you.
Yeah. So just breathe a little bit.
Okay.
God's going to give you the answer.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, this whole idea of stewardship is that we manage everything that God has given us His way and for His glory. And referring back to that conversation we just had with Molly, prayer needs to be a part of that. When we get how important it is to steward God's stuff, we have to pay attention to what the Bible says in Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. This haste, this impatience, right? I know we all have great intentions in how we give, save, and spend our money, but without a plan, it's way too easy to be unwise stewards. That's why I recommend that everyone go through Financial Peace University. You heard her referring to 15% and 25% and baby step 3 and emergency fund. All of those terminal, that all comes back from this groundwork, this foundation that comes from Financial Peace University. It's great that she has that. It teaches practical steps for getting rid of debt, budgeting wisely, investing, giving generously. It's all covered in there. Financial Peace University has helped me and my family, along with 4.5 million other people, learn how to manage money God's way. And what's so great is that you can choose from 3 different experiences to find the one that best suits your lifestyle. You can take a class, which I highly recommend because you have that community component. You have that accountability. You can also take it online. You could also take it at home. I've done all 3 of those, and the class was by far the best. So you can get started at stewardship.com. You're looking for Financial Peace University.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's right, you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This next call is coming in from Phoenix, Arizona. This is Jenny. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris.
How can I serve you today?
So my question is sort of about how God made me who I am and how that impacts the financial area of my life and other areas as well. And so my temperament and personality type is very big picture, I think very globally. I'm very innovative. I'm giving you the positive first because I'm about to tell you that I'm also very undisciplined. I really struggle with paying attention to details. And things like budgeting and tracking the way that I spend my money, as well as, you know, tracking the food that I eat and the calories that go in. And they're very difficult for my personality type. And so my question is, are there different personality types that can't utilize this sort of budgeting approach to financial stability?
When the Bible talks about discipline, there's no caveat to personality type. A discipline is not dependent on a personality type. Now, it's more natural for some, and it's, you know, less natural for others, but our personality type does not give us an out when it comes to discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I experience this personally so that I can get the tension off of you for a second. I personally experience this when it comes to the gym. My personality type does not like the gym at all, but I don't have an option. It's the temple of God.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies are the temple, and I don't have an option. Being a good steward means my health as well. I don't like anything about it. So here's my answer, because you're pretty much getting at it. How do I deal with my personality and still live a stewardship lifestyle? Right? Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. Thinking whether there might be a different approach that would be more effective for somebody who's not detail oriented, because I'm not using it as an excuse to say I don't have to be a good steward or I don't have to be healthy, but it's more the method and the way in which I go about that might need to change.
Yeah. So one of the things would be, no matter what personality type, to put a system in place. Now, in addition to that, what I would say is, don't feel like you've got to have this pocket protector, Excel spreadsheet type budget experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a big relief for a lot of folks that are calling in with a similar personality, this organic kind of flowing. There's a nerd and a free spirit, and you sound like the free spirit. Instead of having 14 budget categories, have 5, have 7, and just have some freedom with them. And just so you know, you are giving, you are saving, and then you're spending in that order. And just keep it real basic. You're not breaking down what I spend in Shell gas station and the BP gas station. And you're not going that far. But that'd be the way. Just keep it real simple. You don't have to keep it real complicated. You don't have 17 accounts at the bank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just don't overcomplicate it. Just make sure that you have a plan and you work the plan.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. I do think I have my PhD and I'm a single parent with 2 kids that I adopted from foster care, so no child support or anything because they're adopted by a single person.
Yeah.
And so I think I do kind of have the all or nothing approach, that I got to fix this for the sake of my kids right now by doing everything perfect, or I'll be this kind of mess that I am. That's how it feels. And so maybe a simpler approach would be a medium step in between.
Yeah, I think you are putting a lot of pressure on yourself, and that probably comes from being the overachiever. You know, you're an overachiever. Obviously, a doctor's a big deal. That's a huge achievement. But obviously, you are disciplined. So you just haven't channeled it in this direction. And you're a single mom, which I grew up in a single mom home, and I know how much discipline that takes to do all that time management. So I wouldn't lie to yourself that you're not a disciplined person. But in addition to that, I would keep, when it comes to finances, because it's obviously not your strong suit or it's not what you really enjoy.
Correct.
Just keep it simple.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Jenny. Thanks for the call. All right. That was a great call. You just know when you're talking to good quality people. You just do. And Jenny obviously is. Very cool stuff. Well, we got this update email. I told you that I was going to let you know about it. I love this stuff. I mean, it just lights me up. This is an update from Jenna, a caller that we had on the show a few weeks ago, and check out what she emailed. I know this is going to mean more to you guys, that those of you that listen every single day, and at least listen 3 or 4 times a week, because this is really cool. It says, "Hey Chris, it's Jenna from North Dakota. You took my call a few weeks ago about my husband's apprehension to get a job and how to approach him biblically. Your primary suggestion was empathy from a man's perspective. Well, it worked. When we started dreaming about giving, we started dreaming about lifestyle and retirement goals and did the math together, discovering we could pay off all our debt, including our house, in only 4 years, the switch flipped. The wonderful, loving, hardworking beast that I married shred his fear and went for it. I am so grateful that God used this time to test my steadfastness and teach me unconditional love towards my husband. We've got a plan on paper, a deeper security in our marriage, and a new communicative method to bust through anything life throws at us with Christ as center. Praise God and thank you, a lifetime listener, Jenna." Folks, that's encouraging. That's really cool stuff. And I know there's a lot of things that she put in that email that preach for all of us, that teach us what a proper perspective needs to be towards our spouse. So Jenna, thanks for inspiring us. Thanks for the update. Folks, continue to update us how God is working in your life when it comes to these phone calls, emails, and tweets. Well, folks, that's it for today. That's it. Great phone calls, great emails. Thank you so much for engaging in the show. Listen, if you're listening on the radio in one of our 20 different cities, make sure you check out our podcast as well. It's on demand. You're not always going to be next to the radio, so check it out on iTunes, or you can head over to stewardship.com. Folks, don't forget to visit stewardship.com and get on the best plan for your money with Financial Peace University. It changed my financial legacy, and I know it will yours as well. God, we come to you right now, and we're asking for your strength. We're asking for your guidance, and we just thank you. We are so privileged to be stewards for the God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless y'all.